Blog Talk Radio.
Israel have fallen short in your sight.
Open your eyes and see. 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 Open your eyes and see.
Shalom. Again, Moriah Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today we're going to start off discussing some of the laws of the Torah. The laws in the Torah pertaining to us having manservants and maidservants. We're going to deal with these laws and show if the Elohim of the Old Testament is righteous, just, and does his laws and his mercies endure it forever. Did you know that the law of Yahweh, even when we were in our own land, and was permitted by our law to have manservants and maidservants? Did you know that our law did not permit us to take someone against their will? We wasn't able to just walk up to an individual and take that person, even of another nation, and make him our slave or our manservant. Let's look at some of the laws of Yah that governs this activity. You go to the book of Exodus. Starting off in the book of Exodus, the 21st chapter, and we're going to read the 16th verse.
And he that stealeth a man, and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
Did you see what it said? He that stealeth a man, and selleth him, sell him someone else. Or if he be found in his hand, he should be surely put to death. According to Christianity and according to the Quran, I'm not even dealing with the Hadith. It would be too embarrassing if I show you what the Hadith says about the situation. But according to both religions, you are allowed to take people and make them your slaves. It wasn't against the law. But here it said ye should surely be put to death. So we didn't allow, the Almighty's law did not allow this. And then we had people that had sold themselves to us. Look what the Creator's law said about that. We're going to go to a book that a lot of my brothers and sisters have been wanting me to deal with for them. And we're going to go right in that book to Leviticus, the 25th chapter. And we're going to read and show you what the Most High says pertaining to freedom of slaves or manservants and maidservants. According to the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, we're going to read the 8th to to the 10th verse.
And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month.
That's what you call the Jubilee. Jubilee is when everybody and everything that we own that belonged to someone else must be set free.
In the Day of Atonement, ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family.
So this was our law. And then the Creator got in it to a little deeper. He did deal with somebody that you bought. And a man sold himself to you for life. He had to sell himself to us for his life. We just couldn't grab a man and kidnap him. That was a death penalty. Well, we're going to start reading and see what the law of Yah says about this man that sold himself to us. And we're going to start reading at the 42nd verse.
For they are my servants.
We're going to start at the 40th verse so you can understand 39th verse. We go right there about if any of our own brothers, first of all, to show you the difference.
And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxing poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant.
So this bondservant was a bad boy. We could never make one of our brothers be a bond servant.
But as a hired servant.
A hired servant is someone that we hired and he worked and we paid him for that day or that month or that year. But he could leave and come anytime he wanted to because he was a hired servant. And a hired servant and a sojourner had the same laws that we had. Especially the sojourner because he lived with us. All the laws that we had, it was for him also. But the hired servant, he didn't live with us, but he could come and work and leave. So we didn't have no jurisdiction over this man to keep him or to make him stay where he didn't want to stay.
But as a hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee.
In other words, regardless what he hired himself out to be, at the year of Jubilee, whether he had paid the money or work the money off or not, we still had to let him go free. The hired servant and the one that was a sojourner.
And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children, with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen.
Again, he said, don't sell them as bondsmen, because a bondsman was a man that sold himself to you for the rest of his life. And so therefore, the laws governing him and his activities was a little different, as you're finna read.
Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shalt fear thy Elohim, both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have.
In other words, thou shalt not rule over him being hasty and being nasty and being angry with rigor. But thou shalt fear Yah, the Elohim. Both the bondsman and the bondswoman which thou shalt have shall be of the heathen. They had to be of the heathen. They couldn't be of our own brethren.
Shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn amongst you, of them shall ye buy.
Notice, them shall ye buy. We keep making fact that we can buy them, but we can't just kidnap them. We just can't make these people slaves and grab them and kidnap them and put them in chains and so they can't run away. We wasn't allowed to do that. Not our law.
Of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a stranger, and if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again.
So it talks about the sojourner and your brother can be redeemed. And why? If you look at the 53rd verse, we can read down to 55.
And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah your Elohim.
All right. So you see the difference from a sojourner and a hired servant than the one that was a bondsman or a bondswoman. We want to read something that we want you to reflect upon again that's mentioned about this bondsman and bondswoman that you will read about in the 46th verse again.
And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever.
Notice, they should be your bondsmen forever. Now you say to yourself, if they're your bondsmen forever, could they ever escape? Could they ever be freed? Yes. Could we do them as they do slaves, the Muslims do slaves in Africa? Kill them, torture them, castrate them, and have them slaves for the rest of their life and put them in chains like the white man's slavery that he practiced on us. Could we do that? No, we couldn't. And to prove that we couldn't treat them as Christians and Muslims did their slaves, look in the book of Exodus 21 and 20. Even though they were the worst type of servants, one that was with us for life, notice the law of the Most High in the book of Exodus 21 and 20.
And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod.
No matter maid servant or man servant. Not talking about a hired servant that can come and go. Not talking about a sojourner that was one, like one of your brothers. But it's talking about a man maid servant or a man servant. And you strike him that he what?
And he die under his hand. He shall surely be punished.
So whosoever kill a manservant, he himself should be surely punished. And what's the punishment for that act? You look in the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter. Here is the punishment. Leviticus 24, 17th verse.
And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death.
He that killeth any man should surely be put to death. Surely he had to die for killing any man. Now what if he didn't kill him, but he just caused him to have bodily injury? Let's say he hit him and knocked his eye out or something. Let's read the 26th and 27th verse of Exodus, the 21st chapter.
And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake.
In other words, if we cause a man to live, lose his eye, whether it was an accident or on purpose, that man was free. Even though he sold himself to us, even though we bought him, even though we might have paid $1 million to him, he was set free because we caused him to lose his eye. and not only his eye.
And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake.
Not only that, we hit him and caused him to lose a loose tooth, and it came out of his head, and he could prove that you caused his tooth to come out. We had to let him go free then. So you know we wasn't cutting off nobody's hands as they did in Islam and cutting off their feet. And you know we wasn't castrating people and putting chains on. We had to let them go if we caused them even to lose their tooth. And not only that, if we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, notice what it says, and starting at the 15th and 16th verse.
Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee.
In other words, if we have any servant, any manservant or maidservant that had escaped and ran from his master, our law is not like the white man's, where we put hound dogs and bloodhounds and hunt them down, and whoever had them in their possession, they would be arrested and they might go to jail because they had another man's property. We couldn't bother them at all if they escaped. Our law said, thou shalt not deliver his master unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. We could not do that.
He shall dwell with thee.
He had to live with us. He came to our house, and our house was a sanctuary. He now found refuge, and our law dictated that we had to keep him, and now he was as one of us. He was a sojourner. And the scripture said that is a sojourner, he shall dwell with thee, even amongst you.
In that place which he shall choose.
He shall choose. If he didn't like your house and wanted to go to another city and live with them, he had that prerogative. He had that choice. He didn't have to worry about nobody catching him and having a brand on him and saying, you've got to come back. He could go anywhere he chose. And if he didn't like it here, he could go somewhere else. No, read that verse again.
He shall dwell with thee, even amongst you, in the place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him.
In other words, the law said he can go to any gate that he liked best, and he can live amongst them, and nobody better bother him. And the law said, don't oppress him. Not so in Islam, not so in Christianity. One other precept I wanted to show you about how the Creator felt about this. If we go to the book of Job, the 31st chapter, let's go there for a moment. According to the book of Job, the 31st chapter, we're going to read the 13th and 14th verse. Notice what it says.
If I did despise.
It says, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant. If I despise their cause, what they were trying to do, trying to hinder them in any way when they contended with me. The Creator said when they confronted you and told you that they're having a problem with the way you're acting toward them and they contended with you, notice the 14th verse. What then shall I do? Will Elohim rises up? Because we know he's going to rise up to their cause. He's going to rise up to their cause because we were once servants in a land that was not ours. So he's always going to identify with the side of the oppressed, not the side of the oppressor. And he said, what then shall I do when Elohim rises up and when he visited? What shall I answer him? And notice what it said. Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? In other words, the same one that made the master is the same one that made the servant. The same one that made Israel is the same one who made Israel's servant. And right here to let you know that the Most High is going to come to the cross of the oppressed. The 16th verse.
If I have withheld the poor from their desire.
Even if I withheld the poor from their desire.
Or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. Or have eaten my morsel myself alone.
And not shared it with the fatherless or the widow.
And the fatherless have not eaten thereof. For from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father. And I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warm with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from Elohim was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness, I could not endure.
All right. Well, he lets you know that he's going to be on the side of the oppressed, the fatherless, the widow, the one that's the servant that cried out and tried to contend with you. So we, in our law, as we have always said, the law of Yahweh is pure, and his mercy endured forever. We had to watch how we treated our manservant, because if he wanted to, he can go next door. And if he went next door and started living, the next door neighbor could not turn him back to us. He had to live and allow him to live with him. We could never turn away someone that ran from us. So our law necessitated us treating them good. Even if we had manservants, maidservants, we had to keep them good for fear we would lose our investment if they decided to leave us and go somewhere else. Not so with the other laws governing the other religions. Not so with them. According to the Quran, it says righteousness is the freeing of slaves. Did you understand what that's saying? It considers a man righteous if you had the ability and the compassion to free your slaves. Well, if that is so, and if the Quran is right, then Muhammad himself must not have been a righteous person because he himself owned slaves. I repeat, according to the Quran, Muhammad himself owned slaves and can have sex with his slaves if he chose. See, according to Islam, if a man wanted to marry his slave, he could, and that's good. That's compassionate. We could marry our manservants and our maidservants as well, and we had to treat them as if they were one of our own. But in Islam, a man did not even have to marry his slave in order to engage in sex with her. I repeat, he did not even have to marry his slaves. Let's look at Surah 23 for a moment. Let's go there. And that's an abomination to the Most High. Every man that an Israelite had sex with, that had to be his wife. He could not just have sex with whores and with prostitutes and with his slaves. They had to be joined to him in holy matrimony. Look at Surah 23. Let's go there for a moment. Let me show you a couple of verses, and we'll let you consider what it is saying. In Surah 23, we want you to read the 5th and 6th verse of the 23rd chapter of the book of Surah. It tells a believer, the 5th verse,
And who restrained their sexual passion?
This is a book about the believer. The believer is one that's supposed to be saved, one that knows the right way, and then that tells you of this righteous man's action. Now, remember now, we already read that it is righteous for a man to free his slaves, but look what this is saying.
And who restrained their sexual passion?
And who restrains their sexual passion? In other words, a righteous believer, he has the abilities to restrain his sexual passion, except in the presence
of their mates,
who they're married to, which is righteous,
or those whom their right hand possesses.
Or those who his right hand possess. Not only is the law letting them know that he can have slaves, it lets you know that you can sex your slaves to death if you want to. They're yours. They're what your right hand possess. And also, if we look at Surah 70, we go there for a second. Surah 70, and then we're going to read Iyat 30. We get to the 70, we're going to read Iyat 30. Yes.
Except in the presence.
We're going to go to the 29th and 30th verse.
And those who restrain their sexual passion.
They again are speaking of righteous people. And it said a righteous man, or those who restrain their sexual passions, except in the presence of their mates, or those whom their right hand possess. For such surely were not to be blamed. In other words, it's no great sin if you want to sex your little slave girls that you just caught. You don't have to marry them. You can sex them to death if you want to. It's all right. And here, our law said that we have to take care of them and don't restrain ourselves from helping them if they don't want to be with the one who bought them legally, whom they sold themselves to and bought. If they didn't want to, they could pay $1 million to them for those slaves. But in the Torah, if they didn't want to stay with us and felt that we were oppressing them, they could leave and go elsewhere, and we could not rescue them. We couldn't get them back. And we had to support and take care of and let them live anywhere they wanted to live. And we had to treat them as ourselves. Not so with Islam. Let's look in Surah 16. Let's go to Surah 16. Let me show you something. According to Islam, a slave was never to be a person to be equal with those people that own him, whether he was a believer or not. Notice Surah 16, and I want you to read. We're going to start reading at the 71st verse. And we're going to read that, 16 and 71. I want you all to get it now, so you don't think that I'm putting these words in the book, that you see that they are already there.
And the deity has made some of you excel others in the means of substances.
In other words, he made some of y'all rich and some of you richer than others. And he made you to excel others as far as your subsistence that you have. So those who are made to excel, look what it says, give not away their substance to those whom their right hand possess, so that they may be equal therein. What then? What? They then will deny the favor of the deity? In other words, it's not for the deity to ever have a man equal with his master that used to be his slave. No wonder the Muslim Arabics that are enslaving our people in Africa see laws that allow them to rape the little girls. We see where those laws come from now. No wonder that even if they want to turn them loose, they are never to try to make them equal. No wonder this discrimination and exploitation and racial differences is shown. The book tells them that the deity never expects them to be treated equally or have the same things as their former master. This is not the favor of the deity, so says the book. But let's not leave Christianity alone. Let's see what Christianity say about their slave. They would even make it a religious act out of it. We're going to first turn to the book of Timothy. We want to go to 1 Timothy to show you this madness and show you how it begins to accelerate as we go from one chapter to another. But we're going to start in the book of Timothy. We're going to go to the 6th chapter, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 6th verse. Notice what it says.
But godliness with contentment.
We're going to start the 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to read the first verse. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Did you hear that? I got to repeat this again. Let as many servants that are under the yoke, got irons on their neck, got shackles on their feet and arms, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Here's a man raping your daughter, raping your little son, got you in chains, not wanting to let you go free because this slave master in Mississippi has a high dose of Christianity, and he knows what his book says, and he knows according to his book you're supposed to give him all the praise and all the honor and count him totally worthy of all honor. So no wonder they would kill a man if he thought the slave was not respecting him. He thought he was doing the will of the Most High.
Like as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort.
In other words, you see, they want us to teach that thing if you believe the New Testament. And we want to know, and they were teaching it. That's reading the Christians owned so many slaves in the South. That's reading the Catholic Church was known for the large amount of slaves that it had. And notice the third verse. If any man teach otherwise, in other words, if anybody teach anything differently and consent not to wholesome words, these words are called wholesome. Even the words of our Lord J.C. and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing but dotting about questions and strifes of words wherein cometh endless strife, reeling and evil submissing. You hear that? They're going to call this person a bad person if he don't hold on to this doctrine that you're supposed to give your slave owner all the honor in the world. And then we go, while we are in near Timmy, we're going to go to the book of Titus. We're going to go to the book of Titus, right in back of Timothy, and we're going to go to the 2nd chapter. And look what it says in the 9th verse.
Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters.
Exhort servants to be what? Obedient unto their own masters.
And to please them well. in all things.
That's right. If you want to have sex with your little 12-year-old daughter, try to please him. Not answering again, but
not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.
All right. Now, you think that was bad. I'm saving the worst to last. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And we're going to start reading at the 5th verse.
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh.
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh.
With fear and trembling.
In other words, when you see your master, you're supposed to fear, show fear and tremble. Now, if you're not trembling, and they telling my great-granddaddy, Mr. Lewis Thomas, that if you're not trembling, then that means you're not showing the will of God. So therefore, if he kill you, he's doing the right thing because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And the law of the New Testament told the slave to tremble. So therefore, the master, in turn, had to treat the slave in such a manner that when he seen him, the slave would automatically start trembling and shaking because he knew that this was his godly duty.
In singleness of your heart, as unto Christ.
In other words, each and every plantation owner, you're supposed to regard him as if he was Christ.
Not with eye service.
Not with eye servants as man pleasers.
But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service.
But goodwill doing service.
As to the Lord.
As to the Lord.
And not to men.
And don't act like you're serving Bull Connors. Don't act like you're serving George Wallace. Don't act like you're serving Maddox. But act like you're serving Christ. Act like there's Christ that wants to sleep with your wife tonight. Act like there's Christ that's telling your little six-year-old boy to come in the room. I want you to do something with me tonight. Act like that's Christ talking and do the will of God from your heart if you want to die and go up in heaven and sprout wings when you die. This is what you do. This is the ungodly doctrine that they sold our people. And you as Christians are holding onto this blasphemous, evil, ungodly doctrine and you making it a legacy for your children to inherit. But if you think that's bad, let's go to 1 Peter. We're not finished. Let's go to 1 Peter. And I think we want to go to 1 Peter around 3 and 16, or 2 and 16. Huh? 1 Peter, we're going to start at 2 and 18.
Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear.
Servants, be obedient to your masters with all fear.
Not only to the good and gentle.
Not only to the good and gentle masters that might show you a little compassion and mercy.
But also to the forward.
But also to the mean and angry and hateful one.
For this is thankworthy.
This is supposed to be thankworthy.
If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully.
In other words, this is supposed to be what? Read that again.
For this is thankworthy.
This you're supposed to be thankworthy that if a man receive grief and suffering wrongfully, that what?
Towards God endure grief and suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it?
In other words, as you know, that's totally against the ways of our Most High. He said if you treat a servant wrong and he leave you, you can't come back. You don't have to come back. He said if he knock out your tooth, then he got to let you go free still. And he says if you run away, you can live anywhere you want. And it tells us if we kill our slave, then we must be killed. Whosoever kill a man must be killed. Our law necessitate that. he should surely be punished. But not so with Christianity. They're telling the slave that he's supposed to be glad he's being mistreated. He should never try to escape. He should never cry out him for mercy. Act like that's Christ doing him evil. Act like that's Christ that's mistreating him.
For what glory is it? If when ye be buffeted for your faults,
ye be whooped for your faults,
ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God.
They say this kind of behavior, this kind of atrocious behavior is acceptable to God. Now, maybe it's acceptable to that hippie on the stick, but it's not acceptable to Yah. Yah abhors this type of activity. His laws condemn it. It is not condoned in a Torah, and the Almighty lets us know through the mouth of his prophets is something totally, totally something that he rejects. But not so in the New Testament.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps.
In other words, if you're a Christian, you don't supposed to follow King when he's talking about marching for freedom. You don't supposed to follow the leaders that are trying to get equality. He says, this is your portion in life. This is the example that Christ left for you, that he suffered that ye might follow his example. So don't pray to Christ and say, relieve me of my tyrants. Don't pray to Christ and ask me to relieve me of my suffering. Act like the plantation owner is Christ talking to you and not a man. And act like you're doing the will of God from your heart and not doing the will of pleasing a man. The New Testament condemns a man from trying to seek his freedom. It condemns a man for fighting his master back. And it condemns a man that complains when his master treats him bad. He said, this is thankworthy. And this is the example that Christ left you, that you should follow after his steps and suffer as he suffered. No wonder a Martin Luther King, when he sought freedom for his people, he could not follow the dictations of Christ. No wonder he could not rely on the New Testament. No wonder Martin Luther King had to seek a foreigner such as Mahatma Gandhi and said, I'm going to follow his tactics in order to free my people. Even though I'm a Christian minister, I can't follow the dictations of this book. I can't show you what the apostles taught, because if I did, you would never try to seek freedom. You would never think it's right to be free. This is a damnable religion. This religion is a slave religion. And you want to tell the world that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same one that wrote the Quran, the same one that wrote the New Testament. And this is totally false. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a merciful Elohim, a compassionate Elohim, a loving Elohim, that will plead the cause of the followers and the stranger, that will plead the cause of the servant that's being mistreated, and will punish those that mistreat them. Brothers and sisters, the Creator has drawn the line. It's up to you to make a choice. Deal in lies and deceit, or deal in the truth for his mercy, and do it forever. I didn't get a chance today to deal with the illegal Mexicans, but I want you to prepare yourself. Next week, we're going to deal with this and find out if the plight of the so-called illegal immigrants, is this detrimental to us and our existence, or is this beneficial? But right now, we're going to stop for news break. And anyone that wants to call in and make their comments on this subject or other subjects of their choice, they can call area code 513 749-1230 The Buzz. Please call in and join us for this beautiful discussion. And again, this beautiful discussion, this night's program, is again dedicated to my beautiful, beloved brother who's passed, General Kabaka Abba. We dedicate this program to you because we know how you love truth and we know how you stood up for truth and integrity. Right now, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Shalom.
Hola, my name's Francisco, a senior at The Ohio State University, and I'll be graduating this spring. My time at O-State has been some of the best times of my life. That's because I planned ahead while I was in high school. If you're a junior in high school, please sign up to take the ACT or SAT this summer. This will allow for you to be on the college list and be considered for scholarships. So sign up today and take the test, or even take it over to get a higher score. Go see your high school counselor now to find out how to register. And maybe in a few years you can be planning another graduation party from college.
Heavenly Father, how great thou art.
He made the trees so high, and the mountains to the sky. He gave daylight and darkness to sleep.
Great is the glory of the Lord. of your people, yeah. Come on. All right. Ready to go home, y'all.
Yeah. Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm all right.
I feel you.
I see you still carrying your Bible around.
Always. Because it's our salvation. And the truth will set us free.
Man, I've been caught up in every religion there is, and I still don't know which way to go.
My brother, we're not a religious people. We're spiritual people. And Yah's way is the only way.
Your way. Cause without Yah, we ain't got nothing. Cause he's the truth, the light and way. Know who you are. Be a superstar by walking the Almighty's way. Don't be afraid. Lift your voice and say, Hallelujah, Yah's the way.
Forgive their sin and will heal their land.
You gotta be real.